Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. The original intent, and my goodness, it's just so eye-opening when you look back. Mm-hmm. It's like, you think about it, even in the gospel where Jesus says, even the very elect could be deceived. So you know about a nation.
Yeah.
That's just minor.
Exactly.
Kingdoms
right.
come, kingdoms go. So it's if you can be deceived over the gospel and over Jesus, then you know the deceiver will work hard trying to mess up your family and mess up your business and mm-hmm. mess up your nation. And you got to really pay attention. And so, like we always talk about, going to the original intent of the nation and find out what the founding fathers wrote in the final documents in the Constitution and in the Declaration of Independence, their final draft. And the original documents, then we can go back to the Word of God and find out what Jesus wrote. And this, we were really surprised. We're going through right now the Constitution of the Church, you could call it that, mm-hmm. the original intent of the Church mm-hmm. with the Sermon on the Mount, the very first thing that God said through His Son. He sat down on the mountainside and began to talk. God began to sit down, He sat down on the mountain and began to tell us, and it's so different than what you're hearing today. I mean, it's different. I mean, men who love God dearly, I know they love God, but it's like, hey, we're overlooking something pretty important here.
Pretty significant.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you had to do away with something, do away with everything but the words of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he comes, he's pretty direct about everything. There is no ambivalence, you know. I mean, people say, well, that's kind of rough. Well, Jesus said, gouge it out or cut it off yeah. if it causes you to sin. Mm. He said things... and we'll be talking more about it, but about how important it is to, you know, settle matters, settle them quickly, and how important it is to move in love and to forgive. And if we don't forgive, then he's not going to forgive us. And it's like, you know, how does that paradigm fit when somebody tells you that you can walk around with bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness, and your destiny is going to be like the person who obeyed God and loved God and did what he said. Mm-hmm. Of all the things that Jesus could have said, you know, he didn't say that when he became a source for eternal salvation in Hebrews, as we talked about earlier in the first hour, if you say a prayer, he said a source of eternal salvation for those who obey me, who obey my commands. I mean, think about that. That's just a paradigm shift, because so many people are... And I really believe they love God, and the more you live life, the more you realize you have to have God's mercy and grace. But we don't forego the words of God. Mm-hmm. Right. We just say, "Hey, I'm like Paul, and I have to have I need more of grace than anybody else." But we got to say what he said. And Jesus, Paul's writing that Jesus became a source for eternal salvation for those who obeyed his command, who obeys his commands. And you say, "Well, how can that happen?" Because Jesus told us how to do that in John 15. He said to abide with him, and he will, apart from abiding in him, all you have is a religious experience, possibly. But if you abide with him, he will empower you to walk in obedience to him. What's that mean? Walk in a love towards God. You're able to walk in love and worship, and your joy is complete. And the things we talked about, you can hear more about that in the first hour. But it's just a whole new revelation on the constitution of the church, the Sermon on the Mount. Mm. Of all the things that God could have said to us, his very first words, basically, to human beings that he created, creating his image and his likeness, was delivered through his son, Jesus, delivered through his son, and he said nothing and did nothing unless he heard the Father say it or saw him do it. So this is the creator of the universe. This is God who was with Adam and Eve in the garden, created mankind in his image and his likeness, told them to go forth and rule the world and be fruitful and multiply and all that. This is what he said. I mean, he began to talk about how we should live our life. Some practical expectations of the creator who created us in the environment and the people that we live amongst, that we have to do some practical things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's significant consequence, even eternal consequence, he talks about, for not walking in obedience. And somebody says, well, that's saved by works. No, it's not saved by works. But, you know, like James said, the brother Jesus, he says, listen, you know, show me, you know, works without faith without works, and I'll show you works without faith. In other words, they just go together. They're one and the same. Your faith is made complete by what you do. So when you have faith in Jesus, that means you obey Jesus. You love Jesus. You follow Jesus. You are his disciple. That's why you have faith. You have faith. If you truly have faith that he's the Lord, the leader in your life, then you're following the leader. You're actually finding out what his expectations are, his commands, his word. And you're depending on him to empower you, but that is your agenda for the day. Your agenda for the day is to follow the shepherd. That's not, you know, that's a peculiar thing to what's being taught today quite often, but it's not that peculiar. It's what he said. Read it. And it's just, I just feel, you feel that check. I'm just like, whoa, this is like major.
And this is the Sermon on the Mount.
That's the Sermon on the Mount, which is really the constitution of the church, you know?
And we take it all in and you're just like, man, this is the foundation. This is, we got to get it on the inside of us. And we, and I've heard you say before, is the constitution is what we're made up of. This is what the church is made up of. But if only 3% of the church is actually taking, 19% of the church is actually taking responsibility, according to George Barna, for actually reading the Word of God, and only 3% of that 9% are actually taking responsibility for their own spiritual development.
They're actually following it.
Following it. How do we even know what Jesus' words were to us? I mean, listen, I've heard people say that the Bible, you know, the B-I-B-L is basic instructions before leaving earth. You know, it's this is our instructions. This is wisdom. This is God's ways. And we need to know them if we're going to walk with him and live for him.
That's right.
And what's evident about that is, by the way, you can't blame this on anybody. You can't say, well, it's because my pastor or because of my teacher or because of my brother, my mother, my sister, my whoever, or because of the nation I'm in. Listen, you stand alone before the throne of God. No witnesses or no suspects. That's why we're talking to you. You've got to get this. This is an eternal get for you. You've got to get this.
I like that.
And it's important for you because you're going to be held accountable before the throne of God. That's how much, he loves you so much. Then he's going to hold you accountable for the decisions that you made in this life. He thinks about you so much and loves you so much. He's delivering his truth to you to see what you're going to do. And then whatever you do with that truth, he's going to talk to you about it at the throne room. And he's going to say, you know, if you made him the Lord of your life, if you listened to him, if you worked on loving and worshiping and making your joy complete that we talked about in the first hour, you know, growing in obedience with the Lord, understanding that he makes you fruitful when you abide with him, then you show up at you're going to be like one of the sheep that he talks about. The kingdom of God is like this. In the day of judgment, basically, he's going to take all of his animals, goats on one side and sheep on the other, and he's going to say there's a difference between the two. Although they're both human beings, you have men and women on one side and men and women on the other side. You have people that lived in all different, you know, seasons of life and all that. But to the ones on this left side or one side, he's going to tell the sheep, he says, listen, well done. What does that mean? They abided. They listened. They made it applicable to themselves because you're held individually accountable before God. And then they were fruitful. They took whatever God had given them and they invested it and they became fruitful with it. And they lived their life with grape stains on their hands and vineyard dirt on their feet. They understood that the reason why I'm here is to advance the kingdom of God, to make lovers of God, disciples of God through his son, Jesus Christ. But on the other side, it'll be people that live their lives for themselves, people who they may have been very religious because obviously when he talks about them, they were very religious, but they did not know God. They even talks about him in Matthew chapter 7. He says, many people are going to think they know me, but they don't, even though they moved in all these gifts. And it's so important to understand your gift means nothing other than you have a gift. It doesn't say anything about you. How you use it does.
That's right. And so many being promoted and lifted up by their gift, and they're thinking that they are their gift, and you're not. It's something that you just got given freely by the Lord. And you can't get those things twisted.
Right. And so you answer alone before God. And so we're talking to you, and today was really dedicated to speaking to you and encouraging you. And don't look at other people and go, okay, this is where their life is, and kind of gauge where your life is. And you know, all this latitude and longitude stuff, trying to see what you're measuring yourself by yourself and by men versus by Jesus Christ. He's the one we're to imitate. Where he's the one we're to, he's the Lord. Men are following God like you're following God. And they have their own journeys like you have your own journey. And they're going to be held accountable for how they respond to God like you're going to be held accountable. But the Sermon on the Mount, the original intent of the church, when you listen to it, and hopefully we'll get a chance to begin to share about it on VFN Radio, you're going to be so surprised. I believe there's a new veil being lifted off of, and it really just rebukes us for what has been taught in the church, that we have left the teachings of Jesus, the expectations of God. And I want to encourage you to begin to just meditate and abide with the words of God.
Yeah, because when you abide and you spend time daily with God, you're hearing his voice.
Mm-hmm.
You're writing it down, and that word stays in your heart, and you can walk it out throughout the day. That's why we are always talking about abiding. Listen, if you're not spending time with Jesus, and you don't even know what Jesus is saying, how can we have it in our life and bearing fruit? And that's the one thing that God's called us to do, is to bear fruit, lasting fruit that's going to remain.
And you can do that through abiding with the Lord. And but just think about it. Isn't it cool that you're hearing now that you're going to be held personally accountable for what you did with this Jesus?
Yeah.
And so it's important for you to know that he loves you. He has a plan for your life. His expectations of you is to love him and love the Father and to love others. And he talks about this in the original intent of the church.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.